It is Friday, August 11th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, U.S. President Donald Trump again warns North Korea against taking military action against the United States and its allies. A Hong Kong activist says he was kidnapped by agents from mainland China, and we preview the new film, The Glass Castle. It's all ahead. U.S. President Donald Trump has issued yet another warning to North Korea, saying the U.S. military is locked and loaded and prepared to retaliate against Pyongyang if it initiates warfare against the U.S. The president's warning comes hours after China said it would not assist North Korea if it launches a first strike that threatens U.S. soil and the U.S. retaliates. Lisa Collins is a fellow in the Office of the Korea Chair at the Center for Strategic and International Studies here in Washington. I asked her whether the increasingly tense rhetoric suggests the U.S. and North Korea are on the brink of war.
So I would agree that the tensions are very high, but I don't think that we are on the path towards war with North Korea. And I think there are a couple of reasons. If the United States government was actually preparing for any sort of military action or engagement with North Korea, we would see a couple of signals. One, we might see plans to start evacuating U.S. civilian citizens from South Korea, perhaps even Japan. There are upwards of 200,000 U.S. citizens living in South Korea, so the United States government would want to protect them and would be responsible for protecting them and would make plans for that. But I don't think we've seen any leaks or any indications that that is currently happening. I think, too, we might also see some additional signs of movement of military assets, additional military assets to the region around the Korean Peninsula, also towards Japan. And I don't believe there have been any unusual reports of military assets being sent to the region. I think third, we would probably see leaks of very serious discussions within the White House and internally within the Trump government about the presidential ability to authorize the use of force against North Korea and about his ability to authorize force without congressional approval. As you know, the president has certain powers, but Congress is the only one who can really authorize him to go to war. So I think we would see some discussion about that, or leaks of discussions about that. And as far as I know, I don't believe we've seen any of that very recently. Mm-hmm. So I do think that we're farther away from war than perhaps the media has indicated in the last week.
Well, apparently, as all this is going on, there are continuing diplomatic efforts, I guess, behind the scenes between, I understand, the United States and North Korea.
Yes, in the past, there have been channels of communication that the U.S. and North Korea have used to talk to each other. There's what's called the New York Channel. North Korea has, as a member of the United Nations, they have an office in New York, and sometimes that has been used in the past to communicate messages between the two governments. And then there is also a hotline, a military hotline between South Korea and North Korea that is used sometimes on the demilitarized zone to communicate messages. So I'm not sure which channels we would be using right now, but hopefully there is some line of communication that is being opened between the governments.
Well, and also another area that must be concerned, I would think, is also Guam, because the North Korean government is threatening to potentially launch missiles towards Guam, which is a U.S. territory.
Yes, we have seen North Korea make statements over the last couple of days through the KCNA, their state media broadcast channel, about potentially launching 4 medium to long-range missiles towards Guam. I think that's a very serious thing that the United States would be concerned about if the launch were actually to go forward on the part of the North Koreans. I think that the United States would both be planning its reaction to that diplomatically and militarily. It would be coordinating very closely with Japan and South Korea because of the information that was released by the North Koreans about the potential flight path of a missile launch. And then, of course, the number of missiles that would be launched at one time is also a very serious concern, as well as the distance that the missiles would travel and how closely they would fall to the Guam territory. So I think that all of these things are information that is very concerning, and that the United States would probably be in discussions with its U.S. allies about.
So it almost sounds like this is a situation between the U.S. and North Korea. It's like sort of which country, which one will sort of will blink first?
Yes, I think North Korea, when it makes very specific statements like this, this is actually one of the first times it's announced beforehand a planned missile launch. Usually it tries to use secrecy and unpredictability in its missile launches to its advantage. But this is the first time it's being very specific about a future planned event. So there might be reasons for that. North Korea might be trying to communicate this so that it prevents an escalation in the situation and maybe tries to warn the United States from shooting the missiles out of the air, if that would be a planned response. North Korea could also be using this to try and sort of coerce the United States from sending bombers and stealth fighters from Guam to fly over the Korean Peninsula during its military exercises. And I think that's the overflights of B-1B bombers is very concerning to North Korea. They may be trying to stop that by using this sort of planned missile launch. But it's really hard to tell what the North Koreans are up to, and I think the United States has to be prepared to react in case that they do launch a missile.
That's Lisa Collins, a fellow in the Office of the Korea Chair at the Washington-based Center for Strategic and International Studies. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Doug Bernard. So, Doug, what is trending?
Well, exactly what we were just talking about, this phrase, locked and loaded. Now, let me just reference earlier on today, President Trump tweeted this out, quote, "Military solutions are now fully in place, comma, locked and loaded, should North Korea act unwisely." People are reacting to that. Golly, in just the last 5 minutes, 303 new tweets on this. Here's a few tweets of what people are saying. Nicole Wallace, "My big beautiful nukes are locked and loaded," said no president in real life or in fiction ever. Let's see, somebody who just has a raccoon for his identification says, "Locked, loaded, fire and fury are not words that JFK would have used. He used words peace and freedom toward Russia during the crisis." That, of course, referring to the Cuban Missile Crisis. Here's a name that may sound a little bit familiar. Chuck Woolery, a TV personality, also conservative. "After 40 years of placating North Korea, giving them everything they demand, fire and fury, locked and loaded, sounds about right to me." So lots of people, just with the newness of the phrase, sharing their opinions on whether this was a wise thing for the president to say or not.
Ah, very, very interesting. Thank you very much, Doug. That's social media editor, Doug Bernard. Here are some of the top news stories that are trending. The U.S. stocks post gains Friday after several down days, trim $1 trillion from global stocks. Somali military commander survives an apparent assassination attempt. Venezuela's leader wants a face-to-face meeting with U.S. President Donald Trump, and the European Union calls a meeting of ministers over the contamination of eggs. Expanded coverage of these stories and more on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA's almost 20-year Cassini mission is only weeks from its expected spectacular ending when it's sent plunging through the dense atmosphere of Saturn. Now in its last stages of the spacecraft's grand finale, Cassini will make its final five orbits around the planet. The space agency plans to make the most of those last five orbits as it sends the spacecraft through Saturn's upper atmosphere. NASA says in its final orbits, Cassini will dip between 1,630 to 1,710 kilometers above the planet's cloud tops. The Cassini team says Saturn's atmosphere might be so dense that they may need to fire up the spacecraft's thrusters to maintain stability during the final orbits. After completing its last orbit on September 15th, the Cassini crew will end the mission by plunging the spacecraft into the planet. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, a new U.S. report on climate change. A Hong Kong democracy activist was reportedly kidnapped, assaulted, and subjected to having staples implanted in his legs. Herman Lam spoke at a news conference Friday. He said he had asked soccer star Lionel Messi to send him a signed photograph that he would in turn send to jailed Chinese Nobel Peace Prize laureate Liu Xiaobo. Liu died of liver cancer in July, and Lam wanted to send the photograph to Liu's widow, Liu Xia. He said he received a phone call earlier this week warning him not to try to contact Liu Xia. William Nee is a Hong Kong-based China researcher for Amnesty International. He tells me what is known about Lam's subsequent abduction on Thursday.
According to his story, he was just at a store in Mong Kok, a popular shopping area, and then was abducted by these men, put in a van. They gave him some sort of thing he had to inhale, and he kind of passed out. And then when he woke up, they said, are you a Christian? And, do you know the cross? And they started stapling crosses into his leg. And then questioning him about Liu Xia, the wife of Nobel Peace Prize laureate Liu Xiaobo, because apparently he was going to send a photo of Messier, who was a popular soccer player in Europe, and this was apparently Liu Xiaobo's favorite player. So he's going to send this to Liu Xiaobo, but obviously that didn't work, so maybe send it to Liu Xia. And they kept questioning him about Liu Xia and this intention. So I think that the fact that he was abducted, tortured, essentially, possibly by mainland agents, about Liu Xia is really just kind of shocking to most people in Hong Kong.
Have authorities, like the police or others in government, made any comments on this yet?
Well, I don't believe at this point that the authorities have talked about this at the highest level, but certainly Amnesty International and other groups are going to put pressure on them to investigate this thoroughly, because this type of thing just absolutely should not happen. I mean, Hong Kong is actually one of the world's safest cities in terms of the murder rate per capita. It's very safe walking on the street, and yet there's a track record of democracy activists or journalists being violently attacked at times. And of course, 2 years ago, we had an instance where booksellers were actually taken out of Hong Kong. So, a lot of people are seeing this as a very worrying sign, especially as the mainland government wants to crack down more on what they see as the pro-democracy camp, the opposition camp in Hong Kong.
And I would think other democracy activists at the moment, must worry them that perhaps something like this could happen to other people.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that people are very worried. This Howard Lam is of the Democratic Party, which is generally seen as a relatively moderate, group in Hong Kong. And there's a lot of groups that are considered to be more, whether it's pro-independence or taking just kind of more radical stances. So the fact that this also happened to him, I think, is going to be shocking to many people because, who knows what people perceive to be more radical activists might face in the future.
Well, and meanwhile, you had mentioned Liu Xia, who is the widow of the Nobel Peace Prize laureate Liu Xiaobo. Her situation, I guess at the moment she remains either missing or under house arrest. What is known about her status?
Well, we have heard that after Liu Xiaobo died, she was taken forcibly on vacation to Yunnan, a tropical province down by Burma. And this is a thing in China where they actually force people to travel with state security agents and so on. But now apparently she's back in Beijing, but people have not been able to get in contact with her. Sky News, the British TV news station, tried to go to her apartment, and the journalist was almost assaulted by the police there. So I think that she's still under incredibly tight surveillance. Amnesty International, we had a petition worldwide of people urging the government to allow Liu Xia to have freedom. Almost 70,000 people signed that petition. And Liu Xia has done nothing wrong. She's committed absolutely no crime, even by Chinese standards. And there's no reason why she shouldn't be allowed to travel freely, including going abroad if she so chooses.
Amnesty International China researcher William Neep, he was speaking from Hong Kong. As the Trump administration reviews a government report that contradicts its views on climate change, another report confirms that humans have pushed the planet to record-setting temperatures. VOA's Steve Barragona reports.
Record-high temperatures helped set Alberta, Canada ablaze last year. Lethal heat and drought struck India, setting off a water crisis. The planet was hotter than ever recorded last year, according to the 2016 State of the Climate Report, compiled by the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Co-author Deke Arndt spoke to VOA by Skype.
Well, it confirms what we know. We know we live in a warming world. We know that that world is going to continue to warm. We know that this is going to cause issues around the world.
The report says an exceptionally strong El Niño weather pattern helped to heighten extreme temperatures, droughts, and heavy rains. These year-to-year variations are taking place against a background of steadily increasing concentrations of planet-warming gases to levels not seen for at least 800,000 years. Nearly 500 scientists from 62 countries contributed to the annual checkup of the Earth's climate. Arndt says they have little doubt as to why the planet is warming.
We can always refine the numbers on exactly what percent is coming, but the vast majority is coming from human activity, and that's very abundantly clear.
That puts the report at odds with the Trump administration. Environmental Protection Agency Chief Scott Pruitt disputes whether humans are responsible.
I believe the ability to measure with precision the degree of human activity's impact on the climate is subject to more debate.
These views and the U.S. withdrawal from the Paris Climate Agreement have raised concerns among many scientists that the Trump administration will suppress climate research. Those scientists gave the New York Times a draft report from 13 government agencies that says human activities are primarily responsible for climate change, and there are no alternate explanations. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says it was, in her words, disappointing yet entirely predictable that the Times would write off a draft report without first verifying its contents with the White House. But she did not comment on the contents of the report, which says the frequency and intensity of extreme weather is very likely to continue to rise in the future. Administration officials are expected to finish reviewing that report by next Friday. Steve Barragona, VOA News, Washington.
This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
I'm Millar Sega, host of VOA's The Correspondents, a weekly roundup of the top stories with analysis from our dedicated reporters around the globe.
Among the stars expressing support, Frida Pinto.
This is a problem that inflicts almost every country.
Think of it as a conversation on the biggest issues of the day. Wherever the news may be, our correspondents are there. Listen to The Correspondents, Saturdays and Sundays on VOA.
This is International Edition. Oscar winner Brie Larson leads the cast in a new movie that tells the story of author Jeanette Walls. As VOA's David Byrd tells us, Woody Harrelson and Naomi Watts also star in The Glass Castle.
Rich city folk live in fancy apartments, but their air is so polluted they can't even see the stars. We'd have to be out of our minds to trade places with any of them.
Dr. Taylor said we should go to a real school.
A real school, huh?
This is as real as it gets, kids. You learn from living.
The Glass Castle recounts the unconventional and often poverty-stricken upbringing of author Jeanette Walls and her four siblings. Based on the 2005 memoir of the same name, the movie stars Brie Larson as Jeanette, the second of four children born to Rex and Rosemary Walls. Rex is an alcoholic and Rosemary is an artist and teacher, but neither parent can provide the stability their four children need. At the movie's premiere, Larson, who won the Oscar for her portrayal of a kidnapped mother in last year's Room, says that Jeanette's story shows the resilience of the human spirit.
For me, this is a story about humans and how strong and resilient they are, and that life can throw a lot at you, and that we somehow pick ourselves back up and still have this incredible capacity to love again and to care and to keep going. So to me, this is a film about a testament of survivors, that every human being is a survivor. We've all survived something, and we keep going, and it's such a wonder that we're here.
Naomi Watts plays Jeanette's mother, Rosemary. She says that the cast members truly bonded during the production and were able to tell this powerful story.
We connected with this story. We brought our own stories to the table, and it was kind of a cathartic experience, and we had all the joy, all the fun, and also the stuff that makes you so emotional as well. Like, obviously not as extreme as Jeanette's stories, but, you know, there are stuff that you could easily relate to.
Woody Harrelson plays Jeanette's father, Rex. He says that he agrees with some of Rex's methods, even if they are unconventional.
Education is, you know, better when it's experiential, better to get out in nature and just actually experience what it is you're talking about, as opposed to sitting in a classroom. Some of his views on medical system I tend to agree with.
Brie Larson says that she hopes that Jeanette Walls is pleased with her portrayal.
She's just an incredible person that continues to inspire me, and I hope will be a very big part of my life for many years to come. Her capacity to accept and move and find strength, and her way with words is just so incredibly powerful to me.
The Glass Castle is directed by Destin Daniel Cretton, who also directed Larson in 2013's Short Term 12 and directed this year's The Shack. It is distributed in the U.S. by Lionsgate and is rated PG-13. In Washington, I'm David Byrd.
And that is our show. Please remember to visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
North Korean nuclear capabilities, Chinese provocations in the South China Sea, and the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria making inroads in the Philippines are the three major challenges facing the Pacific community. That is the assessment of the commander of U.S. Pacific Command, Navy Admiral Harry Harris, Jr. Speaking at the 4th Japan-U.S. Military Statesman Forum, Admiral Harris said North Korea remains a clear and present danger to global peace and stability. North Korea is a threat to the entire world because North Korea's missiles point in every direction, he said. It's the reason why we call for all nations to implement far stronger economic sanctions against Pyongyang. That includes calling on China to do more to exert its considerable economic influence to stop Pyongyang's unprecedented weapons testing. North Korea only has one ally, that's China, and vice versa, Harris said. That means Beijing has exponentially more influence on Pyongyang than anyone else, which makes China the key to a peaceful outcome on the Korean Peninsula. The world needs Chinese help with North Korea, but China also must work to tone down its own provocative behavior on the water and in the air, said Admiral Harris. The Chinese are building up combat power and positional advantage in an attempt to assert de facto control over disputed maritime features and spaces in South China Sea, the admiral said. They are fundamentally altering the physical and political landscape by creating and militarizing man-made bases, he said. For the United States Pacific Command, the goal remains to convince China that its best future comes from peaceful cooperation and meaningful participation in the current rules-based international order. In the Philippines, Admiral Harris called ISIS a clear threat that must be defeated as it is trying to expand and is having some success in Southeast Asia. The U.S. is supporting its Philippine ally. it just delivered two new specially equipped Cessna 208 aircraft to the armed forces of the Philippines. The aircraft are part of the more than $300 million in military aid granted to the Philippines in the last 5 years. The U.S. is committed to working with its democratic allies in the region to bring about peace and stability in the Asia-Pacific.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.